wondered why there's so much suffering going on? Are you going through a trial right now, some kind of test? It seems like these days we don't seem to understand why we're going through certain things. And it appears throughout the scripture, God's people had to endure hardness. And some of us today perhaps are going through some difficulty. God hadn't promised us that he would take us from the trials, but he did promise he'd be with us in the trials. And that's the good news. And there's a particular church that happened to be going through some time of suffering and setback, and the people of God were just wondering, Lord, why do the righteous suffer? And how long, O Lord, will it be before you come again? How many are looking forward to Jesus coming again? Oh, yes. I'll tell you what, that is the blessed hope we have. But you know what? It seems like, speaking of troubles and trials, now let me just share what a personal opinion. I've observed, it seems to me that the government is more and more interfering and overstepping, in my personal opinion, their boundaries when it comes to personal privacy and invasion of our privacy. Now, what I mean by that is there's nothing wrong with having a focus on our national security and protecting our liberties. And at the same time, there is a fine line that the government must balance between national security and our personal liberties. For example, do you realize right now that your phone calls, my phone calls, are being probably intercepted by the government and by government agencies? And not only that, but did you know that your emails and Facebook and such as that is being scrutinized by the government? And not only that, but your financial data can be traced and can be evaluated from a governmental standpoint. Again, I believe it's a worthy cause to try to protect our liberties and freedoms as a nation from terroristic attacks. But at the same time, when you go on a family vacation or when you go off from your home, you do realize Big Brother's watching you, and there are ways they can keep up with you and up with me. In fact, not only is that the case, but church activities. Can you hear me okay, folks? I said church activities. Things that go on in the church are even now under the microscope of the government. You say, but oh, what does that mean, Brother Pastor? Well, what it can mean, I'm not saying it does, but what it can mean is the fact that if we are not politically correct as a church and as a Christian community, the government can intervene. You say, I don't believe that could happen. Oh, really? Well, what about the personal attacks? According to reports we read, the IRS has targeted the Tea Party and other conservative groups and have begun to put pressure and do things that has been exposed in the news here recently over the last 6 months to the last year. Don't think it can't happen. We are being watched. You are being watched. And as a Christian community, our question is this: Lord, why are we going through what we're going through? We know that you're going to come again real soon, but we don't know exactly when it may be. And I just described to you a particular book in the Bible that's so relevant to us today that the people of God were asking the same question: how long, Lord? And why are we enduring this, not only from the governmental standpoint, but even here on earth, our times of trial? And all of us have difficulty, all of us have problems in this life. But speaking of problems, I heard about an Indian chief that went to an Arizona judge and he wanted to change his name. The judge said to the chief, "Why do you want to change your name?" And the Indian chief said to the judge, "I want to change my name." The judge said, "Well, what do you want to change? What is your name, sir?" The Indian chief said, "My name is Chief Screeching Whistle Train." He said, "What?" He said, "Chief Screeching Whistle Train." The judge said, "Well, what in the world?" He said, "What do you want to change your name to?" The Indian chief said, "Toots. Toot, toot. I want to change my name to Toots." I don't know about all of that, but I know this. There's some things that are changing. Not only is the leaves changing on the tree, but things are changing. But I want to encourage you, beloved, this morning. We can hold on to hope. And I've got a feeling there's some of us today that have felt hopeless. Is there anybody here that's feeling hopeless? Is there anybody here that says, "Yes, I need to hold on to hope"? The Bible says in the book of Romans 15 and 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Hold on to hope, beloved. Be firm in your faith, though we're living in frightening but fearless times and fearless future. The title of the message that God placed on my heart this week to share with you is that: firm faith for a frightening but fearless future. Firm faith. You can hang on to the Word of God. Though things are changing, I'm glad to tell you, my dear friend, the Bible's not changing. Amen. And Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So not only have firm faith in these days, but watch this. Help the hurting. What are we to do? How do we respond? Lord, what are you up to in our world? Not only should we hold on to hope and have firm faith in these days, but we ought to help the hurting. There's a lot of people hurting today. It doesn't take you very long to see somebody that's hurting. Help them out. Pray for them. Encourage them. And not only that, but I believe if there's ever a time we needed to share the Savior with a sin-sick world, it is right now. Right now. Right this moment, because people are dying and people are perishing and people are mixed up and messed up and have no answers and have no peace. And you have it and I have it. And I want to encourage you this week to talk with at least one person, to invite at least one person. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the church. Tell them about how they can have forgiveness of their sin. Will you do that? Will you take that challenge? Talk with at least one person this week. And you know what else we ought to be doing in these days? We ought to be bearing each other's burdens. I know everybody's busy, and I understand that we've all got things going on. But if we can't bear one of those burdens as a body of believers, there's something seriously wrong. And so, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just isolate myself and just like a hermit go and hide from things that are going on in my life? No, no, no. Hold on to hope, beloved, and be firm in your faith. Be determined. I'm going to be firm in my faith to the finish. It doesn't matter if the world is going this way. I want to go with Jesus. Can I get an amen? I want to go with Jesus no matter what. And not only that, but we ought to be picking each other up in prayer, praying for each other. Sometimes it's so easy to just get wrapped up in our own little world that we fail to look around us and we fail to really be used of God. But I believe the Lord is saying to us today, be firm, firm in the faith, though there's a frightening but a fearless future. And what I want you to do is take a copy of God's Word right now and turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here we're going to see there's three reasons you ought to hold on to hope. There's three reasons why we ought to be firm to the finish. And there are three reasons why we ought to bear each other's burdens and pick each other up in prayer and share the Savior with a sin-sick world. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn please in your Bibles. And if you would, stand to your feet as we read verses 7 through verses 11. Really verses 7 through verses 12. And here's where we're going in the message today, beloved. Here's where we're going. We're going this direction. Number one, the first reason why we ought to not give up, give in, but rather give out is because, number one, because after Jesus comes, sinners are going to be terrified. Sinners are going to be terrified. But when Jesus comes, the Savior is going to be glorified. Number three. And by the way, number one, sinners are going to be terrified. That's verses 7, 8, and 9. Number two, the reason we ought to hold on to hope and press on to victory and bear each other's burdens is not only are sinners going to be terrified, but number two, when Jesus comes, the Savior's going to be glorified. That's found in verse 10. And then number three, the third reason we ought to just keep on keeping on is because, number three, that before Jesus comes, the saints are going to be purified. That's found in verse 11. If you're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, would you say amen? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we began reading. Before we do, let me just simply summarize what Paul is saying to this church of Thessalonica as we wander through and journey through verses 1 down to verse number 7. He said, I see your faith. This is the second letter to this church. And again, there were a lot of questions they had that you probably are asking today. And he says in verse 3, I see your faith is continuing to grow. He said in verse 4 that you be patient. I see the patience working through you. And faith even in times of persecution and in tribulation. But he encourages the church to endure, endure hardness, as Paul said to Timothy. And then we come down to verse 7. In verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled. The word trouble there, by the way, is the word thribo, which means to be afflicted, which means to be in tribulation. He said, and you who are troubled, rest with us. If you've got a pencil or a pen, I want you to underline the word rest, because we're going to come back to it in a moment. Underline it, underscore it. If you're taking notes, you might want to note that. You who are troubled, look at this, verse 7. Rest with us. Oh, what a great word. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. The word revealed there is apocalypsis. That is his coming. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that, notice, underline this, that know not God. It didn't say that they know about God, but it said they don't know God. There's one thing about knowing God, there's another thing about knowing about God. I hope you know Jesus today, not just about him. In flaming fire, verse 8 again, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verse 10, when he shall come, glory, he's coming. When he shall come, even so come, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. And to be admired in all them that believe. And I do believe, and we do believe in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Notice verse 11. Here's our response. You say, but all this second coming, what does it have to do with today? Here's what it has to do with today, right here, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And notice, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Father, I love you. I bless you. We thank you, Jesus, for such a time as this. Oh, God, Lord, this is so a blessing to my heart. And I pray, God, that you'll wash me clean right now. Lord, you brought out every sin. I'll decrease and you'll increase. Please, Spirit of God divine, reveal exactly what you want us to see today. And we just yield and surrender this time and ourselves to you. God, please move in power. Encourage hearts. Lord, there may be somebody depressed today. Lord, I'm convinced there's others who are discouraged today. And Father God, there's many of us today that need to be lifted up with the fresh wind and fresh fire and fresh anointing that comes from your Holy Ghost power. And so we thank you now for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you. Satan's a liar, and we reject his lies in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we thank you, God, the truth has set us free. We bless you, Lord, that you said you're going to see us through it. You're going to be with us all the way. And I just want to say hallelujah, 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 Lord. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for allowing me. Thank you for allowing us to get up out of our bed this morning. Lord, I could have been in the hospital somewhere or somewhere else. God, I could have been, Lord, incapacitated. But God, you allowed me to be here in your presence with your people, worshiping you and diving and, Lord, listening and assimilating the word, your word that's forever set in heaven. Change us, Father. Change us, dear God. Break up the fallow ground. God, give us your vision. Give us your passion to reach out to a lost and dying and hell-bound world. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Stir up the gift that you put in us and help us, Father God, to hold on and to press on. And Father, Lord, we just praise you, Lord, for that person here that's never passed from death into life. God, may be today the day when they experience peace like never before, forgiveness and intimacy, security. And Father, your glorious power on our life. Thank you now. We love you. We bless you. Because of who you are, we give you the praise. All you're going to do. Thank you for every person that came. I pray for every daddy, every mama, every husband, every wife, every granddaddy, every grandmother, every person, Father, every Sunday school teacher, all God, the wanna workers and laborers and youth and access and Father, men and women, oh God, oh God, oh God, we need you today. We got to have you, Jesus. We just confess we're nothing without you, but with you we can do all things. Thank you now for what you're going to do. We expect you to do it, God, because you said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Break through, Father, break through our hearts today. Lift up heavy burdens. Tear down every stronghold. Crush, dear God, the generational sins and every lie and insinuation of the accuser of the brethren. Father, clothe us with heaven's armor to stand. And having done all to stand, we Lord, just praise you now. You've won the battle. You've won the victory. And we anticipate hearing the trumpet sound one day. I don't know when, Jesus, but even so come. Lord Jesus, help us to be faithful until you do. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. There are three places we're going today in the message, and here they are. Number one, there's a reason why you ought to hold on to hope. There's a reason why you ought not to give up. There's a reason why we ought to bear each other's burdens. Number one is this. After Jesus comes, think about it, beloved. After Jesus comes, sinners are going to be terrified. Doesn't that bother you? Do you ever think about it? People in our community, folks in our family, people we rub shoulders with, we work with them, we go to school with them, they're in our neighborhood. When they die, if they die without God, it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. How do I know that? Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Look at this. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I want to point out two parts to what this main heading is. And that's after Jesus comes again, sinners are going to be terrified. Do you really believe that people go to hell without God? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? I believe if we really believe that, if we really let that truth sink in our heart, it would cause us to be more concerned about our fellow man and about our neighbors and about our family, and we'd get more on the front line of being a witness and telling the good news, because people do die without God. People do go to hell today. People are still lost without the gospel. And God's called us as a church to be salt and light. And God set us here as a witness. And Jesus, praise God, is walking in the midst of the churches. And he's saying, go and tell, go and tell. I sent, as my Father sent me, so I send you. Isn't it a privilege to go and tell? It's a privilege to go and tell somebody about Jesus, the mighty to save. But notice two parts to verse 7 through verse 9, and they're this. Number one, if you'll notice in verse 7, he said, you who are troubled, you who are troubled, rest. Look at that. Don't miss that. Verse 7, you who are troubled with, he said, you are troubled, rest with us. Again, the word trouble. Thlebo. It's not the same word as thlipsis, but it's similar. It's got a similar word, which thlipsis means pressure. You who are troubled. How many of you are troubled today? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I believe there's a lot of God's people today that are troubled. Trouble about their finances. Trouble about their family. Trouble about life. Trouble about the job. Trouble about their health. Trouble about the government. Trouble about things we can't control. Are you troubled today? Are the things bombarding on your mind that's consuming you that you say, I can't rest. I can't rest at night. I can't rest during the day. I'm just troubled. I don't know about y'all, beloved, but it seems like here over the last week or two, I don't know what it is. I can't understand it. I can't explain it all. But God seems to be stirring my heart. God seems to be stirring my heart about the condition of many of God's people. He said, instead of being troubled, rest. How many need some rest today? Do you need some rest today? You got that decision you got to make. You got that move you got to make. You got that responsibility as a parent. Are you resting today? Why can't we rest in the Lord? I don't know about y'all, but I find myself, if I'm not careful, running here and there, and all these things that I need to get done and need to do. And the further I do, the more I do, the further I get behind. I mean, look at me now. Hey, are you resting in the Lord? Are you resting in the Lord? I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of responsibilities, but thank God, God brings us to a place of rest in Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find a rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, there's a rest that remains to the people of God. Oh, listen, rest. Revelation 14 and verse 13 says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth, they cease their labors and their works do follow them. They rest. Watch this now. God doesn't mean us to rest from our work, but rest in our work. Have you gotten the place where you can rest in your work? Hello? Can you rest in that peace that passes understanding? Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans 5 and 1, Paul wrote and said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and 20, Paul wrote again and said, having made peace by the blood of his cross. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Isaiah said, will thou not keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee? Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Are you resting in the Lord these days? Isaiah 40, verse 31. You know it. They that wait on the Lord, say it with me, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Have you learned, and have I learned, and are we learning how to rest in the Lord, how to exchange our strength for His strength? That's the key. That's the breakthrough. When we can exchange our weakness for His strength, because thank God in Jesus we can do all things. And when we're weak, then we're really strong. I don't know about y'all, but I've been facing some stuff this week. How many have had the crud lately? Let me see. I am. Well, bless the Lord. And when you get down and all that stuff gets on you, and boy, it makes you appreciate when you feel well. Amen. It really does. But speaking of rest, last week I was visiting and I dropped by a man's house, Jim Ford. How many know who I'm talking about? Jim Ford. Jim's sitting out there on the back porch. Jim has not darkened the door of a church in 50 years. The Lord moved on my heart to begin to visit him. Others had visited him as well. But over the last year, one visit, two visits, three visits, how many know that it's more than just one phone call? How many know sometimes it takes more than just one knock at the door? How many know that sometimes it takes perseverance to keep on persevering, keep praying, keep going out, keep telling them? And then thank God by and by, Bible teaches, thank God, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God says it. Hey, look, I know you feel like, well, I don't know, I'm not getting a breakthrough, but wait a minute, in due time, God says a breakthrough. I know we get on time schedules and such. Anyway, I visited with Jim Ford, and he's sitting out on the back porch. Get the picture now. He lives on Highway 11 and Henderson Mill Road, the corner, that little cabin right there. I've been impressed to visit Jim here lately and trying to go by. And anyway, he's sitting on the back porch. I drove up. It was a beautiful day on Thursday. The sky is blue. The clouds are white, fluffy clouds. The wind is blowing through the trees. It's just a beautiful autumn fall day. We're sitting there on the back porch and we're looking beyond the pasture. We can see horses. I can see them running up and down the pasture. I can see a pond out there and the trees are just rustling with the wind. It was such just, I don't know what overcame me, but I'm sitting in this lounge chair and Jim's sitting right beside me. And all of a sudden I realized that I was resting in the Lord. Something that sometimes I have difficulty doing. And some of you know what I'm talking about. There was just that overwhelming rest and peace as I sat on that porch overlooking that scenery. But let me tell you what happened. Jim, many of you know that Jim, like all of us, are on borrowed time. We don't know how much more time we've got. And in Jim's case, he's been turned over to hospice care. He's 59 years old. He came June the 2nd and God gloriously saved him, praise God. But he realized his condition is terminal. Well, the fact is all of our condition is terminal. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. We're on borrowed time. What is your life? It's but a vapor. Appeared for a little while and vanished away. And no wonder Solomon wrote and said, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. No wonder the writer of Hebrews said, it's appointed unto men to once to die, but after this the judgment. No wonder Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. No wonder Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I'm he, you will die in your sins. But wait a minute, there's Jim. And I said, Jim, how you doing? And if I can tell you this in a pastoral sense, I hope you get this, not to go and for any other reason but to pray for Jim. He's got a tumor in his neck and it's just growing and growing. He said, my neck is hurting me. And I said, it's hard for me to get comfortable. And the fact is, hospice care says that tumor will just take over and eventually it's just going to kill him. All the tumors in his body. Jim, I said, Jim, as we struck up a conversation, talking about resting in the Lord, Jim weighed about 140 pounds. He told me at one time, I said, Jim, how much do you weigh now? Not trying to find information, but just let you know he's going down. I know God's able. If God does not intervene, I'm going to believe God can intervene if he wants to. But if God does not intervene, it's just going to be a matter of time. Jim said, I weigh about 100 pounds right now. He's just gotten down low. And here's what Jim said to me. I said, Jim, how you been doing? He said, well, honestly, as he was sitting there, he said, I just don't have energy anymore. I just can't do what I once could do. Listen, beloved, we take our help for granted. We take a lot of our blessings for granted, but then you find somebody in condition of Jim and it makes you appreciate. It makes you say, God, I'm sorry. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Lord, I've taken so much for granted. I've taken you for granted. I've taken my family for granted. I've taken my health for granted. I've taken your blessings for granted. I've taken life for granted. Life's a gift of God. I'll never forget Bill Dodson looking at me one day in the hospital many years ago. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and they said to him, Bill, you've got just a few weeks to live. He looked at me, and I'll never forget that look. He said, Brother Randy, I said, yes, sir. We're at the hospital. He said, you know, life is a gift from God. I'll never forget that. As he looked at me, realizing his time was getting shorter, what am I saying? I'm saying this. We ought to live like we're dying. We ought to live like we're dying. And Jim told me this. He said, Brother Pastor, I can't do what I once could do. He was a painter by trade, a good one, mind you, and painted all of his life. He's very skilled at it. He's very articulate about it. You wouldn't know it, but Jim can really do a jam-up job painting. I mean, he's a good painter, and that's what he's done all of his life. He's sitting on the porch. He said, Brother Randy, I can't do any painting anymore. He said, I need to paint this porch. I need to go out there and cut the grass. He said, I love to cut the grass. How many would like to take Jim home with you? I love to cut the grass, said Jim. He said, but I can't do it anymore. Sometimes little jobs like that, we just moan and groan and grumble about it rather than just enjoying the journey. God help us to enjoy the journey. If you get nothing else out of this message today, I'm praying God will help you and me alike to say, Lord, I hadn't been enjoying the journey. I hadn't been just thankful, because in everything give thanks. This is the will of God, Mary, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Mary shared a testimony in the Young at Heart meeting. All that she had endured over the last few months, the month of Brother Sonny went in the last part of November, and there was Mary up at the hospital. You didn't say this in your testimony, but I know for certain because I saw it, sleeping in the hospital night after night after night after day, from the whole month of the last part of November, right after Thanksgiving, that last week, and then into December, every single week in December, every single week into January, and then into February. I'm talking about a long time. And finally, the Lord saw fit to take Brother Sonny home. Mary shared a testimony with us last week in the Young at Heart meeting, and I thought about it, Sister Mary, how we gathered around the bedside, and the doctor said, he's not going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it. You need to go ahead and prepare for his departure out of this life. Now keep in mind, he's up there at Emory Crawford Long, and that was only about 3 or 4 weeks into the ordeal. It was still December. God still had a plan. I'm glad it ain't over till it's over. Hey, God's got a plan. I'll never forget the doctor saying that. We were standing along the bedside. You were standing there. Some of your family was there. The doctor was there. And I thought to tell the doctor, I said, Doc, you don't know who we're talking about here. That's Sonny Prince, amen. He's like a cat. He's got more than nine lives, amen. He just kept bouncing back. And matter of fact, he had the tube in his mouth, and he said, he's not going to talk again. He probably won't have any brain function, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I went back in the room after the doctor had left, and I began to pray and began to talk with Brother Sonny, and he's got that tube down in his mouth, and all of a sudden, he seemed to stir up, and he starts trying to talk. For the next 2 days, he's moving his mouth trying to talk, and I told you before, I said, bless God, Brother Sonny, this is the first time I've ever seen you where you didn't have words. Anyway, God raised him up. I'm telling you, God's a good God. God knows what he's doing. I said to Jim, what I want to say to you today, how many men are in the same condition? You can't do what you once could do. Come on, let me get a witness. How many ladies can't do what you once could do? Come on, let me get a witness. How many know today there's stuff you can't do? We're not getting any younger. Why? We're transitioning in life, but we can enjoy the journey. I told Jim what I want to tell you. Here's what I said to Jim. I said, Jim, you can't change what you can't change. Just accept it and try to move on. And instead of worrying about what you can't do, just do what you can. Oh, brother, that's a breakthrough. Sister, that's a breakthrough. Do what you can, man. Just do what you can. I said, Jim, all that energy that you had in painting, think for a moment, that energy you had in painting, that energy that you were able to do that work, cutting grass, channel that energy somehow, some way, channel that energy into reading your Bible. He said, you know, I'd love to get a lamp back here and read my Bible on the back porch. Spend that energy that you'd use working, praying. I said, Jim, see if you agree with me. Prayer is W-O-R-K, work. you don't believe that, set your clock for 15 minutes and you start praying and see if you hadn't exhausted your prayer life before 15 minutes is up. Matter of fact, set it for 5 minutes. A lot of times we don't realize, and it's not necessarily the length of the time, it's the quality of prayer, obviously, but prayer is W-O-R-K work. It's hard to stay concentrating. It's hard to stay focused. 10,000 things bombard our mind when we're praying. And if you're not in a state to be able to resist the devil, and if you're not in a state to stay focused, that's why people don't pray more. It's work, W-O-R-K. I said, Jim, hey, man, stay with the stuff. Pray. There's a second truth found in this text. It is this, not only exchange our trouble for rest, but notice too, we could exchange from knowing about God to knowing God. Where'd I get that? Look at verse 7 again. He said, skip down to verse 8. In flaming fire, Jesus is coming again. Vengeance, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I believe we live in a community right now that's saturated with the gospel. There is preaching on television. There is radio ministry. Books are being published. We are inundated, watch this, with religion.
That's right.
In America. Inundated. You go to third world countries and they don't have literature like we do. They don't have television ministry like we do. I think it can go both ways. It's good, but then it may not be so good because it's one thing. See, if you agree with me, it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. And there's a lot of people out there in our world today that know about God. Why, they've heard about Abraham being called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. They've read about Moses leading the children across the Red Sea. They're familiar with Joshua crossing the Jordan River, going into the land of Canaan. They've heard the stories about Samson and the man that got his hair cut in the devil's barbershop. They've heard about sin binds and sin grinds and sin binds. They've heard about the stories of Daniel down in the lion's den. They knew about Jonah in the belly of the great fish. They've heard about Elijah calling down the fire from heaven. They know the stories about Jesus healing blind eyes, namely that of blind Bartimaeus, and causing the man who is crippled, an impotent man found in John 5, saying, take up your bed and walk. Wow, they've heard about him opening deaf ears and casting out demons. People have heard the stories about Jesus, how he calmed the storm and the wind and the waves had to obey him. How many believe he can still calm the storm today? Glory be to his name. They've heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead and Jairus' daughter. And they've heard about the widow maid's son. They know about him going to an old rugged cross. Why, they've heard about that through somebody, and they understand that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he died and poured out his last blood. And they've heard the fact that on resurrection morning, praise God, that death couldn't hold him and the grave couldn't contain him and the soldiers couldn't take him away, but an angel came down from heaven and rolled the stone away and said, he's not dead, he's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's a living God who's conquered death, hell, and sin in the grave. And people know about the stories how Jesus went back to glory and said, I'm going to send my spirit. He'll be with you, in you, and upon you. He'll guide you into all truth. Why, they understand that preachers are preaching and teachers are teaching and Christians are saying he's coming again. But beloved, it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know him. Do you really know him today? Look at me, tell me, do you really know him today? Do you have an intimate relationship with him today? Do you talk with him just like you would talk with your best friend? I've got good news for you. Jesus is a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He's bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, rest to the weary. He's hope to the hopeless. He's help to the helpless. He's a light to those that are in darkness. Oh, yes, he is. He's a refuge to those that need a refuge. Anybody know my Jesus today? He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. Amen and amen and amen. Do you know him? Do you really know him? I was at CVS last week, and as I shared with you, I've been battling the crud this week. Amen. Anyway, that's what they call it. And so I went by CVS to try to get some help. And I'm just not as strong as I used to be. Amen. I'm not as tough as I used to be. I think I got it from y'all, amen. Anyway, just kidding. But here I am at CVS, and you've got a drop-off window. And then you've got a pickup window. How many know what I'm talking about? Drop-off window, pickup window. I went to the drop-off window and told them what I needed. Some Flonase, all right? I need something for this sinus and stuff going on. And anyway, she said to me, she said, it'll be about 15 minutes. I said, all right, it's worth it. I'll stay 5 hours if I can get some relief, amen. Anyway, and so I'm walking around in the store. I'm just browsing through. I'm in the medicine section. How many like to look at the medicine section? I know I'm getting older because I like to look at the medicine section, amen. I said, well, man, I'm feeling this, and I want this, and this is good. But I'm just browsing through the medicine section, and all of a sudden, after about 10 minutes, I hear my name, Randall Reese, and I heard it, them calling it on the counter. That is not the drop-off counter, but the pickup counter. So I make my way. I've been up and down the aisles looking at browsing. And then I make my way over to the pickup counter. Well, as I go over to the pickup counter, I notice several things. I notice there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 men sitting right there at the pickup counter. One sitting in a chair, another sitting in a chair, one sitting in a chair, and then 2 more are standing up. Well, I walk over to the pickup counter. And one man jumps up and says, hey, wait a minute. You got to get to the back of the line. Has that ever happened to you? You got to go back to the back of the line. I mean, and I understand his frustration. How many have been there? Come on, let me see your hand. Don't lie about it. We're in church. Anyway, so I go over to the pickup counter. He said, you got to go to the back of the line. We've been waiting here a long time. And bless his heart, I said, sir, they just called my name. So I get to go to the front of the line. I didn't say it sarcastically. I said, they just called my name. You know what God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me about? When they call your name, buddy, you better be ready to go. I'm glad, thank God, one day Jesus is going to call my name. He's going to call your name. He's going to call you one day. It might not be very far away when he calls us. We got to be ready to go. Is he going to call your name soon? Are you ready to go? How many have got your bags packed and you're ready to leave out of this old world? Amen and amen and amen. Well, there's a second reason why we ought to hold on to hope and why we ought to be firm in our faith. Though we have a frightening yet fearless future. There's another reason why I ought to bear each other's burdens. There's another reason why I ought to pick each other in prayer. Let me ask you a question. I'm just challenging right here, okay? Pastoral challenge. How many prayed for each other this morning before you left your house? Let me challenge you to pray for each other, all right? Every day. I guarantee you, you'll start seeing God enlarging your prayer life. You'll start seeing God enlarging your coast. You'll start seeing God doing great things in people's lives. One of our men came up to me last week on the second service, 11 o'clock. He said, Brother Pastor, I want to share with you a praise report. How many like to hear praise reports? I get tired of the bad news. Somebody, bless God, tell me some good news. Our God's still good. He said, God opened up the door for me to get more work. This man has been out of work for quite a while, and his work has gone from just about a lot to just about hardly any. And he said, I just want to bless the Lord for it. I want to praise the Lord for it. The second reason we ought to pray for each other and bear each other's burdens, keep on fighting the good fight of faith, is this. Not only after Jesus comes will the sinners be terrified. Number two, when Jesus comes, he's going to be glorified. Look at this. Verse 10. Follow with me in the text. All of this is straight from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Look at this. When he shall come. Isn't that sweet music? When he shall come. I like the way that sounds. When he shall come. Let's say it together. When he shall come. One more time. When he shall come. Notice Paul didn't say if he comes. He said when he comes. Oh, when he shall come. Look at this. To be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe because our testimony among you who believed in that day. When he's not going to send an angel. He's going to come. When he comes. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so grateful to our God. He's able to take something ugly and make it beautiful. He sure has done that with my life, and I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and by the grace of God, I want to be everything God wants me to be. That reminded me of a story I read about some men were sitting around a table in Scotland, and they were sitting there having tea, believe it or not, drinking tea and just chatting. Actually, they were talking about fishing stories. How many men love to sit around in Jasper County? It's hunting stories, all right? But they were talking about fishing stories. And you know how the fishermen get to talking about catching fish. And anyway, one of the men got excited about it, and he started waving his hands, and he knocked over one of the cups of tea, and it spilled on a white sheetrock wall. There was an ugly brown stain. Man, it just stained that beautiful white sheetrock wall with an ugly brown stain. The man said, oh, my soul, what am I going to do? One of the men jumped up right where he was at. He said, don't worry about it. He grabbed from his sack, he grabbed a crayon and began to start drawing on over that brown, ugly stain. Finally, when he finished, they could hardly believe their eyes. He drew a beautiful picture of a stag buck. Antlers, massive. A monster buck, we'd say down here. They couldn't believe it. They said, how did you do that? He said, my name is Sir Edwin Lanier. They said, who? He said, you know Edwin, the famous painter from England. They couldn't believe it. This man, watch this. This man took something ugly and made something beautiful out of an ugly brown stain. Oh, I don't know about y'all. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. But I know this, my great God reached way down. I was not looking for him. He came looking for me. He found me under the trash can. He found me lost and undone without his son. He found me when I couldn't find myself. He found me in a state of brokenness. He found me mixed up and confused. He found me troubled and led by the devil. But I bless God, he took something ugly. What the devil tried to ruin me, and the devil tried to wreck me, and the devil tried to send me to hell. But Jesus, God's son, I'm indebted to him. I want to praise him today. I want to bless him today. I want to thank him today, because he's taken me out of the gutter. He's washed me in his blood. He's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He saved me by his marvelous grace. I'm not lost anymore. I'm not in the devil's crowd anymore, because of God's amazing grace, because of God's unconditional love. I've been saved, redeemed. I'm blood-bought and blood-washed, and thank God I'm a child of the King now. Glory be to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's all about you, Lord.
That's right.
Amen. There's a third truth as we go in the text. Not only after Jesus comes, sinners are going to be terrified. When Jesus comes, the Savior is going to be glorified. And number three, we'll be done. Before Jesus comes, like right now, the saints are going to be purified. Look at verse number 11. Oh, this is where the rubber hits the road, right here. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count. Paul's writing to the church now. He's writing to Christians too, even us today. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Hang on to hope, child of God. That our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I visited a home. The home of Mike and Pam Busby. How many know who I'm talking about? Yeah. Pam is scheduled to have her third chemotherapy treatment tomorrow. Here's what she said. I walked in the house. She's sitting on the couch. She's lost all of her hair. But she hadn't lost her hope. She hadn't lost her hope. She hadn't lost how to get back to it. Now, you put yourself in that position. None of us can relate unless you've been through it. How many have been through chemotherapy? Anybody in the house of God today? You've been through this hard chemotherapy. She said, Brother Pastor, the first day is not when the real sickness hits me. She said, it's the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. She's literally shot for about 2 weeks. They told her this was strong. But as she sat there on the couch, I want to tell you what she told me. Firm faith. To face a frightening yet a fearless future. Here's what she said. With tears in her eyes. She said, Brother Pastor, we've not been in the church very long. She said, but the people have been so good to us. God has been so good to us. God has ministered to us. She said, a little old lady down there at the church named Mary. She said, what's her last name? I said, it used to be Williams, now it's Tucker. She said, she brought me some cornbread today. She said, I love that cornbread. She said, and if you've been through the chemotherapy, you know that the one thing you need to get your strength and build up the strength. Because that's, anyway, she said, and with tears in her eyes, I said, hallelujah, Lord, I need to hear that. She said the people at the church had been so good. She mentioned a couple of names. She couldn't name everybody. Melissa Clark had been calling and going by. And many of you have called. How many of you sent her a card? Who sent her a card? Anybody sent a card? She said she read a card the other day. And if you've been in that condition, you know what how a blessing it is to get a card from somebody. They took time to sit down and write it. And then to sign it. That tells you that you're... It's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God uses cards as a ministry. I don't know, but if you feel led to do, I know it would be a blessing to her. She said, I don't know if I'll be able to go through any more chemotherapy, but the plans are. She said, I'm trusting Jesus. I know He's going to be with me. And even though she developed a little cough last week, she no doubt she was getting weak. But she said, God's helping me. And she said, I'm thankful. Here's what I want you to remember. I'm thankful to be a part of a church family that cares, that prays, that reaches out to me. Me and Mike hadn't been in the church very long. But she said, Pastor, it means the world to me when you're going through some kind of ordeal like I'm having to endure, to have a church body, to have people in the church of the living God to love you, to pray for you, to lift you up. She said, I can feel the strength and it means so much to us. I said, hallelujah, praise God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us would speak a good word for God's church? There's a lot of things we can get negative about, but rather than being negative, let's speak a good word for Jesus and His church. Amen. Let's stand together.